Welcome to episode 20 of Bibliotech, the podcast about emerging technologies for academics. This podcast is brought to you by University Affairs Magazine. My name is Rochelle Mazar, and I'm an emerging technologies librarian at the University of Toronto, Mississauga. Every month, you can listen in as I talk about what's new in technology and what we as academics should be paying attention to. It's hard to keep up with all the new software, tools, and gadgets. That's where I come in. Instant feedback is extremely valuable to an instructor, especially with a larger class. Classroom response systems, or clickers, help make this possible. By asking a multiple-choice question to a class, an instructor can tell if students are grasping the material. But is using clickers as simple as that? In this episode, I look at both the pros and the cons of using clickers in the classroom. Lectures, as you know, are both easy and very difficult at the same time. They're easy because the infrastructure of university campuses is built to support them. Students expect you to deliver a lecture once a week, and most of us learn to create and give lectures early on in our careers. But lectures are also difficult. They require a tremendous amount of preparation, especially the first time you give one. It's really hard to build in much interaction in a lecture, especially when the class is huge. Since university infrastructure and the basic expectations of how a course works is incredibly hard to shift, many instructors are attempting to change their teaching within the boundaries of the lecture structure. Many are adopting new tools and techniques that make lectures more interactive, more engaging, and more demanding for students. This is where classroom response systems, otherwise known as clickers, come in. Clickers are essentially remote control devices that interact with a base station that sits at the front of the room. The base station collects information from the activity of the remotes and relays it to an attached computer. Instructors can create multiple choice questions in PowerPoint that flash up on the screen as they lecture, and the base station will record all the students' answers to that question. It then lets instructors show the results to the class right away. If you're picturing an Ask the Audience segment of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you're entirely correct. Clickers don't disrupt the natural flow of the traditional lecture-based class. They just allow instructors to check in with the class as a whole as they go along. A lot of instructors are very keen on the use of clickers, and for good reason. I've seen clickers used in fairly simple ways to quite dramatic effect. Rather than simply dispel myths and misinformation with walls of verbal facts and studies, some instructors incorporate the ability to get instant feedback into hooks and cliffhangers in a lecture. One religion instructor I know uses clickers exactly this way. He presents an issue in the lecture, asks students what they think is true, and asks them to vote on their answer using clickers. Then he displays that information back to the class. He uses that data to shape how he talks about the truth. He uses students' knowledge and the myths surrounding religions to inform his presentation of them, without putting any individual student on the spot with the wrong answer. His goal is in part simply to keep students engaged in his already very engaging lecture, but he also wants to use clickers to help him demonstrate very clearly that misinformation exists and show his students that they aren't alone in being wrong about any of it. In an intensely practical use of clickers in the hard sciences, I've seen several instructors use clickers as testing mechanisms on the critical functions that make or break a concept. They will cover that sticky point in a lecture and do their best to get that information out as clearly as possible. Instead of immediately moving on from that important point the way they once did, they now use a clicker test to gauge understanding right after that piece of the lesson is complete. If the results of that test show that the point is not clear to the majority of students, then the instructor knows there's been a failure to convey that sticky point, so she'll stop and go over it again. She now knows, as she's teaching, that we've reached a critical point of misunderstanding, and the students know it too. It's a moment where everything stops while they just work to get back on the same page. If most of the class gets the question right, the instructor will continue. But it also gives them a sense of how many students are starting to fall behind. At this point, the instructor can stop, point out the error, note that 10 or 15 or 20% of the class isn't clear on this point, and prepare additional support for them outside of that lecture. TAs can fill in and can provide additional tests and materials covering this particular detail, because the instructor now knows that additional support is required. This use of clickers is a practical and efficient way of letting students know whether or not they're keeping up in a class well before the first test. Before clickers, these instructors really had no way of being sure that their messages are clear to students until a gradable assignment or test is due. And students don't have the luxury of assuming that they understand something they actually don't. This use of clickers is a kind of early warning system, both for the students and for the instructor seeking to improve her teaching. You can imagine that after years of these kinds of clicker questions, instructors will start to see which of their teaching methods work best and can reshuffle their approaches based on that information. It's a very quantitative way of seeing the impact of modules, methods, and individual lectures, even down to the individual modules within lectures. This simple technology can be an interesting and powerful addition to your lectures. But on the flip side, it can also give your students something else to easily cheat and game to get extra grades with minimal effort. I've seen many instructors use clickers fairly lightly, with the main purpose being pure attendance taking. Clicker data knows which answer comes from which student, so technically you can use clickers to monitor whose devices are actively in the room when you conduct a quiz. Natural attendance taking, isn't it? The danger of this approach is that students are smart and figure out a way to fool the machine. They tend to form groups who take turns as the emissary to your class, and that person then becomes the note-taker of the week and pushes the buttons on 6 or 7 clickers to make it look like all his friends are present. Sneaky, dishonest, but you have to admit, creatively crafty as well. I don't recommend the use of clickers as pure attendance takers. It's just too easy to get it wrong. One of the big dangers of clickers is forgetting that a student is always part of a larger ecosystem. It's heartbreaking when students with not a lot of cash to go around are asked to buy 2 or 3 different clicker remotes, each made by a different company, because 3 of their instructors want to use clickers and there's no one standard model that they're sharing. If your campus doesn't have a single standard for clickers, it's worth having this conversation at the departmental level at the very least, and decide as a group which device you're going to ask students to purchase. At least this way, if they're majoring in your discipline, they can keep using the same device for all of their courses in your department for the duration of their degree. It's definitely worth figuring out what the dominant system on campus is, and sticking to that if it's at all possible. But what's the future of this device? The truth is, any smartphone, tablet, or laptop computer can do what a clicker remote can do. In fact, an actual computing device can do much more. A student's own phone, tablet, or laptop can allow text input as well, and doesn't require anyone to buy anything they don't already have. Instead of special clicker software, you might just use an online form that gets generated inside your course management system, or it might be an app students can download. Personally, I'd rather see universities go out of their way to help students get a really great smartphone for cheap, with a terrific and low-cost data plan, and then have instructors build courses on the presumption that smart devices are available for use by each student in their lecture. That way we could build even better interaction inside a lecture, with even more accountability. But in the end, clickers are just a fancy show of hands. If you want to go super low-tech instead of high-tech, you can pass out a stack of colored construction paper, say 5 colors per student, and ask them to raise a color to answer a multiple-choice question. That would essentially achieve the same result. Sure, you don't get the exact number of A answers versus D answers in a spreadsheet, and that might be very useful for you, But in terms of finding a muddiest point or getting a general sense of what the class thinks, you'd certainly get that information with simple pieces of construction paper. And so will your class, without ever switching on a phone or firing up a remote control. With clickers, laptops, phones, or even just raised hands or paper, in the end, if it's the approach, technique, or technology that meets your goals, then it's always the right answer. That's it for this episode. Do you use clickers in your classroom? How's it worked out for you? Let me know by posting a comment at the bottom of this podcast page at universityaffairs.ca. Until next time, I'm Rochelle Mazar.